This is Jim Rickard from the Stewardship Services Foundation, and this is the question for today. Is our economy sound? Absolutely. This is the greatest capitalistic story ever told. The greatest capitalistic story in the history of the world. Look at the history of America, how God has prospered us. When there's a catastrophe anywhere in this globe, we are the first to respond with the most. We are there. We give and we give and we give because God has blessed us and God has blessed God's people. Yes, there are times when we go into recession, but that's not all bad. Recessions are healthy for this economy of ours. In order for our capitalistic system to remain strong, we have to go through what I call recessions. I graduated from high school in 1960. My dad was the manager of what was known then as the largest die casting plant in the world. May of my senior year, he suffered a heart attack, became disabled, and had to retire. The plant manager, the CFO, called my home and offered me a job in the plant in purchasing because he thought I probably wouldn't be able to go to college. So I graduated from high school, went to work in purchasing, and was an expediter. Served an expediter for 2 years, and in 1962, in purchasing, they gave me the responsibility of the rear windows for the Ford Thunderbird and the Lincoln Continental. My job was to buy the component parts for those windows, get the windows assembled on our plant, shipped to Detroit to be put into the automobiles. 1964, they gave me the Ford Mustang. That little vent window in the rear of the car was the window I was responsible for. That window had 18 different components in it, so there are 18 different suppliers. By the way, the Mustang still holds the record as the most sold car in the history of the automotive industry. Why am I telling you this? Think about it. 18 different suppliers for that little vent window. Multiply that times a car. How many suppliers does it take to supply the parts to build an automobile? Thousands. How many employees does it take to staff those companies that supply those parts? Millions. And when our country goes into recession and the automotive industry goes into recession, the impact is enormous because you've got all those suppliers working for all those companies who supply those parts to build those automobiles. I witnessed my first recession in 1961. A recession is two consecutive quarters of decline in gross domestic product, which is decline in all the sales of goods and services for two consecutive quarters. 1961 lasted 10 months, that recession, blamed on the Kennedy spending policies. Second one was 1973-74, that lasted 16 months, they blamed that on the oil crisis. 1980-81, that lasted 22 months, that was the Iranian Revolution. 1991, it lasted 8 months. They're not sure what caused that one. 2001 lasted 8 months. That was the 9/11 attacks. The accounting scandals came forth and the dot-com bubble busted. 2007 began the one that we've seen just in recent years. That's lasted 50 months. Housing market collapsed, which led to bank failures. The average recession is 12 months. The 2007 recession lasted over 50 months. A country like America, a capitalistic system, has to go through recessions to remain healthy. You have peaks of prosperity. An economy overheats. Detroit builds too many cars. Contractors build too many houses. Contractors build too many shopping centers. And when it overheats, it has to cool off. So you have a minor recession, and you trust it's minor, short and shallow. That's healthy for the economy. You don't want it long and deep like we experienced starting in 2007. So the economy must remain healthy. If you had continual prosperity, it wouldn't be long before you were taking a bushel basket to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread. Will we get through recessions? Absolutely, because this is the strongest capitalistic story ever told. Now, let me bring it back to Bible times. Why am I telling you this? Back in the Bible times, those people gave 10% of what they earned to support the priests and Levites. You remember this from Deuteronomy 14. They gave 10% of their income for celebrations. They gave 10% of their income every 3 years to feed the widows and the orphans. So you could say 23 1/3% of what they earned went for taxes to support the government, not the church. Then there was gleaning. Farmers couldn't farm all their crops. They had to leave crops so that the poor could walk through the fields, glean what was left, and feed their families. So you could say those people paid between 25 and 30% of their income went for taxes. We could say that today. We could say that the average American pays between 25 and 30% in taxes. Now, some pay more, obviously. Some pay less. A high percentage of people in this country, somewhere around 40-45%, don't pay any taxes. When you average it out, 25-30% taxes. We've been hit with inflation. We're going to be hit with taxes because we spent a lot of money in things like stimulus to try to stimulate the economy. Some people say we have over $2 trillion of funny money running through our economy. That money has to be paid back. That money has to be returned to the Treasury. And the only way they're going to do that is with revenue. So we're probably going to see some tax increases. We're probably going to see some recession. When you get too much money chasing too few goods, that creates inflation. The question God's people need to be asking is, in an economy like we've been facing in recent months and recent years, is how do God's people continue to fund the Lord's work when our discretionary spending is beginning to shrink a bit? How do we fund the church? How do we fund the missions? How do we take care of the missionaries? How do we support Christian colleges and Christian seminaries and K-12 schools if our discretionary spending is beginning to shrink? I'll tell you how. We get back to the basics of stewardship in how we live. We get back to the basics of what the Bible says about stewardship so that we apply the principles to our lives to honor the Lord, not just focusing on self. You know, we are more concerned today about material things and material blessings than spiritual blessings. We are more concerned about good reputation than a godly character. We are more concerned about what we do than who we are. We are more concerned about personal desires than God's will. That's the culture we live in. But Christians should be immune from that. Christians should be sheltered from that because of their commitment to Christ, because their commitment to the Word of God. One of my favorite quotes from my favorite Bible teacher, John MacArthur, and I do quote, "Prosperity, accolades, stature, and popularity is not the measure of a true believer. It's commitment to Christ, loyalty to the Savior, living God's word day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out. Sanctification is a lifelong process, and godliness is a day-to-day proposition." Put this in the stewardship realm. Stewardship is a commitment to Christ. It's loyalty to the Savior. It's living the stewardship principles of God's word day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out. Biblical stewardship is a lifelong process. And godliness around the subject of stewardship is a day-to-day proposition. It's the bottom line. You can never let money control your life. That is not stewardship. Money cannot control the life of a believer. When money controls your life, you've bought into the system. You've become materialistic. You have started to focus on self. That violates Scripture. This is Jim Rickard from the Stewardship Services Foundation with the question for today.